Good morning.
Good morning.
It is indeed a privilege to be up here and share the word with you. God's holy, empowering word. This morning I'd like to speak to us all, including myself, from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Let me just read those verses to you. They're well known. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, teach us out of this, your word, how we are to rest in you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you notice, there are two rests mentioned here. What I would call the rest of salvation and the rest of service. And we'll be looking at that. But before our Lord came to this passage, he spoke out against the nation of Israel. Look at starting at verse 16. "But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the market and calling unto their fellows and crying, 'We have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you and you have not lamented.'" You see, this is a place in Jesus' ministry. He's about 1 year into his ministry. John the Baptist is in jail. He's still alive. In fact, if you turn back to the first part of the chapter 11, verse 4, John had sent two of his disciples to ask Christ, "Are you indeed the Messiah?" And Christ answers this: "Jesus answered and said unto them, 'Go and show John again these things which you do hear and see.'" Underscore that. Always Christianity is hearing and seeing and knowing that things are happening. It's not mystical, but it is based in reality. "The things that you do hear and see, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he who shall not be offended in me." And just this other part: "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude." There is a great multitude of people that the Lord is speaking to, but he's wanting them to know something about himself. Looking at the condemnation that the Lord was talking about, our Lord spoke out against the indifference of the nation to the work of God that was going on. First of all, John had preached. Now, Jesus had been ministering a whole year. But yet there's an indifference in the nation. Look at verse 20 of chapter 11. "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of the mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at that day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum," the center of his ministry, where he worked out of, which art exalted unto heaven shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment. Jesus spoke out against the cities where great miracles had taken place. These cities were blind to his presence, deaf to the music of his voice, and unconscious of their day of visitation. They cared only about miracles. They did not care about the Messiah. Do we see that today? Oh, yes. Look at any of the televangelists. How many people follow after the miracle and the money, but not the Messiah? Not the Lord Jesus Christ. We need him. Look at verse 20 again, the last part. Because they repented not. It's not that they didn't see God working, but they did not acknowledge his work. Having said those things, in verse 25, he breaks off and begins speaking to the Father. And when he prays or speaks to the Father, he identifies two groups of people. Let me read. See if you can see them. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. The know-it-alls, who knew nothing at all, and the clueless and powerless, and the great multitude before him were grace, basically, those that had no power, and the ones he was speaking to. Paul identified this group of people, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power, the dunamos, the dynamite of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Just remember that, God has. For after that, in the wisdom of God, that the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Make no mistake, these two groups are still with us today. Moving on down to verse 27, the Lord Jesus, having laid that foundation, that condemnation against the nation, he now lays the foundation upon which he is going to make the call, come unto me. Verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal. This foundation is the knowledge of the Father through the knowledge of the Son. Remember in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way. There is no other person. There is nothing that we can do to come to him. There's the foundation. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. He is the one that can give the rest. Now, speaking unto the multitude that's before him in verses 28 through 30, he makes a change in his ministry. All the commentators agree that now come unto me all you. This marks the turning point in Jesus' ministry. The message now is to all and not just to the nation of Israel, but to all who would believe on him. The language now is a contrast to the condemnation before. A blizzard of snow, now the warmth of the spring day is coming out from our Lord. Verse 28 tells us to whom the offer is made and what the offer is. But before we look at that, let's look at come unto me. That rest of salvation, that glorious declaration of his greatness as Lord of all. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. You know, that might frighten some of the people there before him because he has all power. But now he extends a hand out and he says, come to me. All you that labor, I don't want you to be afraid to come. Compassion, love, streaming from him and to the people, he just says, come. You know, some people would teach that we need to do. But no, the Lord says, wrong, just come. Isaiah 1:18. Come unto me, or come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Who is making this declaration? Chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is our Lord. Some might think, well, if I have just a good character, then I can come to the Lord. And I think we hear that all the time too. But Isaiah again, 64:6, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And I think we all know that those are the rags that were wrapped around the sores of the leper, that just a touch would transfer the disease to you. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, character will not get us there. But our Lord will. Who is this offer of rest made to? This salvation rest. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Did you notice it's not to everyone? We sometimes think it is, but it is not. Our Lord knew that not all would come, not all felt the need of a Savior. If you're not tired of the world of sin around you, of yourself and sin, it is not to you that this offer is made. To all laboring to do right and find out that you fall short, to all who are heavy laden with the cares of this life, some with pain and sickness and the consciousness of sin. It is to all who know that they have need of a Savior that this offer is made. The self-sufficient is not invited. Now the offer of rest, he says, I will give you rest. Let me read this to you. Jesus Christ was saying to them and to us that all your restlessness is a godlessness. Jesus, looking at the multitudes and of sorrowing, suffering, weary, and heavy laden people, said, if you could know God, all your restlessness would cease. But you can't know God except through me. If you come to me, I will reveal him to you. And you will find rest. It's interesting. He did not offer them religion. He offered them a relationship with the Father. He did not offer them a drug that would put them to sleep. He did not, and maybe make them forget about life. He might... But he offered them life, and that more abundantly, John 10:10. And the joy that comes in knowing the scriptures, 1 John 1:4. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. He brings rest and peace to the sick, troubled soul, not to, again, the self-satisfied. What are the benefits of this rest that our Lord gives? First, rest from the terror of sin. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Rest from the power of sin. Turn to Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 31. What shall we say then? What shall we then say to those things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall say anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. By the way, sometimes you do find persecution in the church. In our time, more Christians have died than all of the ages past for the gospel. Think of China, think of Indonesia, and think of Africa. Nay, in all things are we more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think of anything he left out? No. Nothing can separate us from his love when we put our trust in him. Now we move on to verse 29. Jesus offers, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. You see, in the Christian life, not only do you need salvation to have peace, but you need service to have peace with the Lord. Many times Christians' lives are in turmoil because they are not serving him. You find a service, you will find in service the peace. I was listening to a message by John Hunter, Dr. John Hunter, and he was talking about a time that he went to India and he was going to be speaking in a mission for young women, and it was out in the country, and to get there he had to be taken there in a bullock cart, you know, with oxen. And he's sitting there riding out in this country, and there's two oxen and there's this cart, and he's talking with the man next to him. He says, you know, what's the dynamics of that's going on with the oxen there? Oh, he says, it's very simple. He says, you see the oxen on the left? That's his yoke. He is the trained, he is the mature oxen that knows what to do. The one on the right, we're trying to train. And as they were going along, he noticed that every once in a while, the younger oxen would try to get out of the way, and then the older one would just keep him pulled into shape. And not only that, they came to a divide in the road, and of course the young one wanted to go off this way, but the older one pulled him around into this. And the man that was driving the car, he says, also another thing, he says, the mature oxen is taking the heavier part of the load while we train this other one. So John Hunter goes, that's like this verse. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. To take Christ's yoke, then, is to put ourselves into the relationship of servants, to act in conscious obedience to his commands and cheerful submission to his will for us. Simply put, we are yoked to work. Therefore, we must be diligent. We are yoked to submit. Therefore, we must be patient and humble. We are yoked to learn. Therefore, we must be obedient. By the way, unlike the yoke of the Pharisees that had been put on the nation of Israel, which was hard and harsh, Christ's yoke is different. His yoke, his commands, like himself, are reasonable, tender, and easy to obey because they are always for our highest good. Remember, the meekness and lowliness spoken of here is not weakness. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. We're talking about the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, we're told in Colossians, holds the whole universe by his power together. What is this meekness spoken of here? He wants us to learn the self-control that Christ had, the power to be able to control yourself, to always do at all times the will of the Father. That's what he could do. That's the meekness spoken of. So he wants us to learn that kind of meekness or control, that we always and at all times do his will. That kind of submission will always bring rest to our souls. The reason that there is soul rest is because it is not a rest from work, but a rest in work. Not a rest of inactivity, but of the harmonious working of all the faculties and affections of our will, heart, imagination, conscience, because each has found in God the ideal sphere for its satisfaction and development. It is a rest in his love. Someone put it this way: while the heart is at rest, the hand may be at work. When you love what you're doing, things become fun and easy. They sometimes call it a hobby. But in the Lord, we call it holiness. We can never work so well as with our soul at rest in Christ our Lord. Remember, it is his yoke. We no longer have to make the decisions. The pressure is off us. What do we do? No, you ask him, what do I do? What do you do? He gets to make the decision. He directs us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he might direct your path. No, he will direct your path. He will. Verse 30 is one that we absolutely have to have. Because verse 30 tells us how to tell Christ's yoke from all other yokes. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Remember, the yoke of the Pharisees, their law, what they added to God's law, was harsh, overbearing, oppressive. When you feel that in your life, when you want to do the Lord's will, wonder if it's man's yoke or God's yoke, Christ's yoke. When you have these things, you do not have Christ's yoke, but man's. His yoke is gracious and kind, sweet and pleasant. There is nothing in it to hurt us. On the contrary, it will refresh us. Lined with love, his yoke lightens labor, lessens adversity, sweetens care, and is unconscious of a yoke that would be otherwise heavy. The love of God and the hope of heaven will make it easy. When we are murmuring within ourselves at the cost of our Christianity, it is because we have not yet realized the value of Christ and doing his will. I think I shared this one other time, but I want to share it again about, it's the song Follow Me, and I would just like to read these words. I traveled down a lonely road and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say so tenderly, my feet were also weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim. The morning I can see, just lift your cross and follow close to me. I work so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say, I've sacrificed a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. And then I heard him gently say to me, I left the throne of glory, I counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross. But now we'll make the journey with your hands safe in mine. So lift your cross and follow close to me. O Jesus, if I die upon the foreign field someday, 'twould be no more than love demands, no less could I repay. No greater love hath mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words he gently spoke to me. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. Jesus, if by death to living they can thy glory see, I'll take my cross and follow close to you. I would ask us to let it be our prayer that each of us who know Christ as Lord and Savior pray, teach me, O Lord, to do thy will. This is the easiest, the sublimest, the simplest law of life. And there you will find rest to your soul. Could we sing 124?